This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, a Friday show continuing. Logo and J-Mac along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, they're your local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Hour one in the books. It was a great one. Looked ahead to tonight's schedule of NHL hockey and the Wranglers matchup with the Tucson Roadrunners. And a great conversation with Chris Cuthbert from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada on the life and legacy of Bob Cole and a bit on the series he's calling right now, the Leafs and the Boston Bruins, which continues on Saturday. Highly, highly recommend you check that out. We'd love to have you on the pod, as always, wherever you get your favorite podcast. But if you want to tune into a really great conversation, couldn't recommend the one with Chris Cuthbert enough to you. J-Mac, that was a cool one for hour one.
That's going to go right up there for me for one of my favorite radio conversations of all time.
We're kicking off hour two with another great guest, chatting all things NFL, round one of the draft in the books in Detroit, and round two and three going on Friday night, and still lots of great prospects out there to dive into. It was an interesting round one. Hope you like offense. I know our next guy does. It's the one and only Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru, joining us down the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline. AMC, happy Friday, pal. How you doing?
Happy Friday, guys. Yeah, draft day part two today. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good, man. We got a ton to talk about from round one. Storylines abound, offensive players going off the board left and right. Some interesting picks mixed in there as well. I guess just start us off. How many big surprises were there for you in the first 32 picks last night?
Well, the big one started at number eight with the Falcons. I have to say, I was 7-for-7 on the first picks. Then the Falcons went rogue.
Yeah, that's fair.
What the heck? They went absolutely rogue. That's the great thing with the draft. You don't know what type of crazy is going to happen, but you know there's going to be crazy. And we saw it, and it was great. That Penix Jr. pick. And here's the funny thing, Michael Penix Jr., if you can erase the injury problems, and he had significant ones, and he put out the letters saying it's not a problem now, but okay, if you take those away, to me, he is the most pro ready quarterback. And if he had no injuries, I would have taken him over Caleb Williams personally. So the pick of quarterback I like. But for it to go to the Falcons when you just paid Kirk Cousins all that money, your guaranteed money for him doesn't run out for 2 years. Penix is an overager. So by the time that guaranteed money runs out, guys, he's going to be 26 years old. It's very perplexing.
Like, I'm glad we're focusing on this because I still can't wrap my head around it. You have it right. Like, 26 years old is when we could see Michael Penix Jr. start. And you've doled out all that money for Kirk Cousins. And, I mean, maybe I'm
and
just going...
you didn't even tell Kirk about it.
You didn't tell Kirk about it. We're looking at the actual draft pick being made, and we're seeing Arthur Blank and the GM having a whole conversation where it kind of looks like the GM's trying to convince the ownership about the pick. Like, Falcon's going to Falcon? Am I crazy in thinking that this is just another dumb thing for the Atlanta Falcons to do? I'm with you. I think Michael Penix Jr. is a great quarterback, and I think he could be a good quarterback for any of these other teams who would have picked him. But Atlanta, for him to do this? Like, this reeks of some kind of mismanagement somewhere for me.
I totally agree. Okay, so here's the thing. You got Kirk Cousins. Now, he's coming off major injury. Okay, but that's the place where maybe you get a second or third round quarterback that could be a bit of a game manager and fill you in a little bit, or go get a journeyman veteran. There's other ways around this than to spend your first round pick where, in theory, what you want to do is, I don't know, how about build around Kirk Cousins, who you brought in to try to win something in Atlanta with the other pieces that you have there. You have some good pieces. You got London, you got Pitts, you got Bijan there. Like, maybe a defender. You could have got the best and first defender of this draft for Atlanta. Or you could have got an offensive lineman. You could have gone in a whole bunch of different directions. And that's what really threw the night in chaos, because then it's like, oh, okay. And that's, you know, then the Vikings are thinking, all right, well, maybe we got to move up, and, you know, and the Broncos are sitting there, and it was weird. It's an odd move, and I think it's honestly going to be a wasted pick and a missed opportunity where you could have had an immediate playmaker now for a team that supposedly is ready to try to win.
Is this draft, and at least round one of the draft, Andy, an example of teams just going crazy valuing quarterbacks? I can't help but look at, you know, the Denver Broncos, and I'm not – it's not even the Broncos. I just look at you picked 12th. And you took the sixth player of that position. That doesn't make sense to me value-wise. And I know the Broncos are telling everybody, oh, well, he was the third quarterback on our board. But, I mean, how many drafts produce six or five long-term starting options at quarterback? The value picking the sixth player at that position at 12th, Andy, doesn't make any sense. Even the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback value has skyrocketed to a place where I think we're seeing teams make mistakes every single year.
Oh, yeah. It's a pure swing. It's pure desperation. Look, the Denver Broncos guys, without a shadow of a doubt, have the worst quarterback room in the NFL. You traded for Zach Wilson. Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Zach Wilson's terrible. Jarrett Stidham? What? Jared Stidham, he's done nothing. And now you have Bo Nix, who looks like he's 45 years old. Come on, man. These are my notes on Bo Nix, okay, guys, from the combine. Okay, you guys know I keep detailed combine
notes.
Yeah,
yeah, love
it. First thing I have written, Bo Nix, -, high-end backup. that's what I got.
That's not
high-end.
Not great at 12.
No, you can get a bonus and you can look like a high completion percentage, but he's throwing behind receivers. This is a guy you can get in the third round, this type of skill set. Okay, so the Broncos, I'll tell you this, the Broncos and I think the Vikings as well are going to be drafting a quarterback in 2 years again, because this isn't working out, especially for the Broncos.
So when you see that Sean Payton believes in Bo Nix as much as he did Patrick Mahomes, what do you say to that?
That's such crap, by the way.
First of all, come on. My answer to that would be you had Russell Wilson, so what happened there, bro?
But you could argue that Russell Wilson was washed. He's older.
Sure. Russell Wilson was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, look, do I blame Sean Payton for Russell Wilson? No, but I don't think. I think we have to come to realize that maybe him being the quarterback guru and whisper, it kind of depends on situation, right? Because didn't we all think Belichick, and I'm not degrading Bill Belichick, and I think it was a combo of him and Brady. But boy, he looked a whole lot, less good without Tom Brady. And Sean Payton looked a whole lot less good without Drew Brees. And Bo Nix being like Patrick Mahomes, okay. It's just a ridiculous statement. And for the Denver Broncos, you reached, you got your guy, and you take a swing on a QB. And you know what? I said 2 years. You might be drafting another guy next year, to be honest. It's just not going to work.
What was your favorite pick around one, Andy?
Expected favorite pick was Marvin Harrison Jr., whichever team took him. My God, I my fantasy football hat is on, guys. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Personally, I was hoping he would go to the Chargers because I desperately wanted a Justin Herbert, Marvin Harrison Jr. stack. I know you wanted him. You got Joelt.
I'm okay with that. It's okay.
Joelt, hey, you got to O-line. Joelt's a stud. But Marvin Harrison Jr. and now with Kyler Murray, if he can come back and now he has that Marvin Harrison Jr. is beyond the real deal. Like, this is just an epic. Like, we're looking at a future Hall of Famer, and I don't think I'm overstating that. So now we look at, okay, so that was an expected, you know, top five pick. Who do we like later on? My favorite pick, and guys, I called this on my show, Sick Podcast with Andy McNamara, at 32, the Chiefs got impatient. And they went up and they got Xavier Worthy. And I was just looking, guys, after the combine when he broke that record, I was like, those son of a guns, those Chiefs, they're going to go get Xavier Worthy and turn him into Tyreek Hill part two. They're going to do it. And they did. And they got him. That's my favorite.
Okay. I'm going to make a confession on Calgary radio right now that I'm sure people will, light up the text line for. But I'm a New York Jets fan. I need that out there. It's tough. It's tough for us here. No. What can you tell
me? I'm a Browns fan, but I feel you.
Right, that's true. You're a Browns fan. Oh, you know what? I take that back. What can you tell me about Olufoshanu? I like the pick at 11 for the Jets at that spot. I like them in trying to enhance their offensive line. I've known they've tried to do that before and had a little bit more tougher luck with Mekhi Becton. But what do you like about Fashanu?
What I like is that the Jets made a smart positional grab. You could have easily gone shiny another toy for Aaron Rodgers with a receiver or something else. What you need is for Aaron Rodgers to make it out of the first commercial break of the season opener is what you need, right? And how do you
Andy,
protect
don't bring back bad memories for me, please.
I know. You needed the offensive line. So I love that they went that way. And if you look at Fashanu, this is a beast of a man. This is 6'6", 312. Now, there were a lot of expectations coming into 2023. I don't necessarily know if he lived fully up to them. He had a bit of an injury, cut his combine workout short. So is there some left on the table? We have a little bit of a question. Sure. Is he the best offensive tackle? No, I think that's Joe Alt and J.C. Latham that went to the Titans. But do I think that Fashanu can step in and be a day one starter for the Jets? I do. And that was a case where you had a really solid player match up perfectly with a desperate need for a team. So for the Jets, I like that pick. I think you plug him in and try to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy and make a run.
Least favorite pick of the first round.
Oh, my word. Well, we bashed Bo Nix, so let's give Bo a break there. I can't blame Bo, right? But that was an absolutely terrible pick. You know what? If I'm looking at it, the pick I liked the least was probably J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. And I know the Vikings needed a quarterback, right? And the room is only slightly better than Bo Nix. But I just don't believe in J.J. McCarthy, guys, okay? I don't believe that this is a difference-making quarterback. I think this is somebody, and I'm not talking skill set-wise, but I think results-wise, could just be another version of Kirk Cousins. Okay, he can be systematically good. Now, he won national champion, won at the highest level. Well, let's watch those games. He wasn't asked to do too much. That's not necessarily his fault either. You won in different ways. You can't necessarily blame him on that. But you look at J.J. McCarthy, and I just see a whole lot of an elevated Mac Jones, okay? A bit better Mac Jones. And I think we have it where he'll be fine, but you have him and Bo Nix that, man, if teams weren't so greedy or desperate at quarterback, I'd say that's somebody you just kind of wait on. I'll give you one more pick I really like, too. Drake May of the Patriots. I'll tell you 100%, guys, 100%. I wanted to see, because this is a total unknown for the Patriots. They were a mystery. First draft without Belichick. What would they do? Belichick 1,000% would have taken J.J. McCarthy. That is a Belichick, Mac Jones, boring quarterback pick. Drake May's a risk. This is a guy, I compare him to Justin Herbert in that. You look at him, Justin Herbert in the combine, I remember it vividly. He was thrown behind guys. He was inaccurate. I'm like, but you got all of the pieces there. You got all of the pieces there. And is he in the right situation? Well, you got Alex Van Pelt coming over from the Browns as the offensive coordinator, and they're looking real good as far as bringing that talent over. And so with Drake May, he's the biggest boomer bust of this draft. Remember, 2018, we had Josh Allen. He would be either great or he would stink. And now he's had his ups and downs, but overall, he's been a great quarterback. Drake May is the big, that's the guy we could be looking back on like, whoa, what a stud.
Andy, what are your impressions of how the Chicago Bears went about their first round? Of course, we knew they were going to take Caleb Williams at first overall, but yeah, they end up getting Romo Dunze at the 9th spot. They get themselves a wide receiver. Yeah. What do you think of how they did the first round?
I think it's been a really good offseason for the Bears, because what they did was they also had a Keenan Allen, and you still have DJ Moore. So now you have veteran presence that can groom this young stud, Odunze, coming in. And what do we like in today's NFL? We like size, 6'3", 212, check. You like good hands? Yep. And you like somebody who can run routes. Now, is he the fastest? No, but he's fast enough. And it looks like finally, like, guys, I'm trying to remember, when was the last time the Bears actually had a truly exciting offense with multiple weapons? I don't know. They got it now. And that, I thought that was a heck of a pickup at wide receiver. My favorite receiver still, who I would have taken there, but I'm not upset about Odunze, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Mark this down. Buffalo Bills are taking Adonai Mitchell at 33. I'm 99% sure of it.
I was about to say, with the Bills, like, this is a team that I'm intrigued about them because of the fact that they need receiver help. They don't have Gabe Davis anymore. They don't have Stephon Diggs. I'm very intrigued about how that wide receiver room is going to look for Josh Allen. You were mentioning him earlier, but like, that's a guy who needs some receivers to try to keep that contention window open for next season.
Well, the Bills just got into salary cap hell where they just had to start cutting people. Diggs became a problem. Okay, guys, now let's look. The Bills helped the Chiefs, their rivals. They're barriers to the Super Bowl. Get Xavier Worthy. Then they traded out and they let another receiver go off the board, Leggett, to the Panthers to sit at 33. So a bit baffling where you could have taken whoever you wanted, unless let's say they're like, okay, Adonai Mitchell's our guy and we know that they're not going to be taking him. We haven't. Maybe it's to get assets and maybe it's to use those extra draft capital to go get a T. Higgins who's disgruntled in Cincinnati. Perhaps something like that could make sense. But if we look at this Bills room right now, who's excited about this, gentlemen? Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Matt Collins. Oh,
Yeah, it's kind of
Josh out. Oh, like, okay. First, you better add a receiver at 33. Like, stop. Bills Mafia. We know what they do when they're happy. They're jumping, burning tables. I don't know what they do when they're upset. You got to get a receiver. And then I think you got to try to trade. Like, if that's the only way trading out of that spot, trading down multiple times out of the first round makes sense to me. If you can use that to try to go get a T. Higgins or some other veteran receiver to couple and pair with a rookie. Guys, you need not one. This Bills team needs two wide receivers for Josh Allen.
Is Brock Bowers good enough to justify leaving Michael Myers in the dust after last year's draft for the Raiders?
Oh, boy. You know what? I was thinking about that. And Brock Bowers, absolute stud, no question. In a thin tight end class that was super top heavy, and it's pretty much Brock Bowers. It might have been a case where the Raiders looked at their board and, you know, Bo Nix just went. They couldn't make a deal to move up to get one of the other quarterbacks they like. Like, remember, too, Raiders aren't anything to get too excited about when it comes to the quarterback either, right? Like, we're looking at that team, and you have Aiden O'Connell, who, I don't know about you guys, I'm not interested in. Gardner Minshew, fun. You know, he wears jean shorts and has a cool mustache and a bandana. That's fun, but can he play like, yeah. So it might've been a case where they didn't get the quarterback, couldn't make the deal to get what they wanted. And Brock Bowers was head and shoulders above anybody else of value on their board. And in that case, I would assume you're going to use Brock Bowers as more of a receiver than your traditional, you know, inline tight end. Yeah, you can roll both guys out. You can roll him and Meyer out. So I don't hate the pick. It's probably not the best move overall, but if the front office there was like, Bowers is good, we're going to take him and we're going to slide him in XYZ and have a plan, then I'm okay with it.
Andy McNamara is along with us going through all things NFL after round one of the draft concluded Thursday in Detroit, coming up with the rest of the weekend to get through rounds 2 through 7. Talked about all the quarterbacks that went off the board. Some surprise that the New York Giants weren't one of those teams that snagged a quarterback, Andy. Mm-hmm. Were you one of them that was a bit surprised Big Blue doesn't have a new quarterback?
I was very curious to see how that would go. And then in my, like, we got mock drafts, but I like to do as well. Once the draft starts, kind of make the pick and then kind of see where it feels. Because mock drafts, one trade and it's out the window. So I kind of like to do also a in-draft mock. And as it started going, you saw Williams expected, Daniels expected, Drake May. Then you get down, it's like, okay, well, to our point earlier, do you take the fifth or sixth best quarterback, or do you take the 1A wide receiver on a team that had zero firepower? Come on. The Giants were at wide receiver. Their last 1,000-yard receiver guy was Odell Beckham Jr. OBJ, that's like 5 years ago.
Yeah, been a while.
Right? That's for real. So the more I thought of it, I'm like, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I think they're going to take a weapon, and that guy is Malik Nabers. Because for me, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver. But there's plenty of people that say it's Malik Nabers. So now if you're the Giants, okay, we got a weapon. Maybe let's see how our quarterbacks can do to throw to somebody who's really good. Let's try that for a change. So I think that was an interesting pick, but it makes total sense to me. I think that's a good grab by the Giants.
What do you think about Jaden Daniels and him going to Washington?
Perfect fit. You got the Cliff Kingsbury model there, and I really like Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to have a better pro career than Caleb Williams. I do.
Okay. You know, that's interesting.
It's a bit of a hot take, gentlemen.
That's a bit of a take. I think Caleb's going to be a little better than Jaden, but we'll see.
It's a bit of a sizzler. You know, we're have our hand hovering over the stove. We're going to be careful. But I think Jaden Daniels, and the reason I say that is Caleb Williams fumbles too much, runs back. I don't know if he can handle the pressure when it comes up to it. Jaden Daniels, the deep ball accuracy concerns me a bit. This guy's smooth, man. And he's a little lean, but he's a little thin, but he's tall and he's not too thin. I see him as a comparable, a Lamar Jackson, his upside, a Lamar Jackson but a better passer. That's where I see Jaden Daniels potentially going. And if you have the mind of Kingsbury there to be able to coach him up and work on that, this Washington team it's strange. You have some pieces, but not, you know, a lot. And remember, we still have some draft to do. Like, Washington could add some more weapons for him. But I like that Jaden Daniels pick, man. I think if you're Washington, maybe you did your homework and like, boy, you know, if this is our second best guy, then this is pretty sweet.
Last one for you. Lots of talent still on the board, but anybody you were surprised that didn't get picked in the first 32?
Adonai Mitchell, I thought for sure was going in the 20s of Texas. Guys, this is, you know, every year I got my combine crush, right? I got, yeah. It was DK Metcalf a couple years ago, you know, it was Chase Young after that. And this year it was Adonai Mitchell. And out of Texas, guys, let me hit you with some facts here, okay? 6'2¼" tall, 205, 39.5 inch vertical with a 4.35 second 40. Stop it. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, he can jump, and he can outrun you. But more importantly, he can catch the ball, and he catches it in stride without missing a beat. That's what I always look for, whether it's on the game, highlights, the tape, whatever, or at the combine. When you catch the ball, do you kind of bobble it? Do you stop? This guy's smooth. He keeps going. Just a natural pass catcher. The hands are there. This guy is going to be an absolute stud. And personally, I had him as my third best receiver in this entire draft, behind Neighbors and Harrison Jr. Whoever he goes to, and I think it'll be Buffalo first pick, is going to be very happy. This is going to be whatever team he lands on. If they got a quarterback, I want to be matching them up in fantasy football.
What's going on for you tonight and for the rest of the draft? I imagine you'll be tuned in to see what happens in the rest of the rounds.
Yeah, well, my Cleveland Browns didn't have a first round pick again, so this is the start of my draft. So I'm going to be doing some reaction to the Browns draft pick. Hopefully it's a good one, on X at AndyMC81, Instagram at Andy MC Sports. And I'll have a full draft breakdown on the Sick Podcast with Andy McNamara this weekend and on Tuesday on YouTube and on X at Sick Pod Browns.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Always appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Love it, guys. Thank you so much.
Take care. Andy McNamara joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, all things NFL draft. With our pal Andy, he'll be back, of course, in the fall as our fantasy football guru, getting you set for another fun season. We've got a couple of Sportsnet 960 league players here. Not Sportsnet, I shouldn't say the Calgary media. Crews hanging out in here.
Well, technically,
some notes and.
I mean, you know, since we're all technically 960 since we've all been on and co-hosted.
Yeah, but the Calgary media.
The Calgary media.
Group.
You're just going to just generalize expense. Us all in a group.
No, we take it out. We expand. We don't limit ourselves just to Sportsnet here, right? And
that's true.
I saw Aaron Vickers. He was taking notes, fantasy notes already. I was like, wow.
He was eating more chips than taking notes.
When you have a ship under your belt, boys, you can sit back and eat chips.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
That'd be something like that.
I'm coming for that ship next year. Yeah. Talking greasy. I get it. All right. Dude just comes in here. He's not even on for this show yet. What are you even on at? Like 4 o'clock?
No. Do you not remember that our show does prep?
Well, you're saying that we don't do prep?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We've had this conversation on Sportsnet today before.
Okay. Well, we prep on this show too. Let's not get it twisted over here. Just because you have the fancy little show with Pat Steinberg and all that.
Yeah, who does your prep?
Yeah. Who does your prep? Is it just asking big Pat Steinberg what he does?
You just read off of Pat's script for
what,
you, or
why don't you guys tune in and find out?
Oh yeah, you know what? Sure, yeah. Let me go about my time and spend my afternoon listening to you and Pat Steinberg. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do because you guys prep. That's why I should listen to that show because you guys prep. Oh yeah, yeah. Acting like you're holier than thou on everybody. What is this?
We're going to take a break.
What is this?
We're
going to
get out of here.
What is this?
They'll handle things off the air.
What is this? No, seriously. What is this?
When we come back, closing out the week, we haven't done this in a while. The Friday DMs. Our next, whatever you want to talk about, you got questions for Julian, you want to know some Flames off-season thoughts, Stanley Cup playoffs, thoughts on the draft, anything and everything, we turn the show over to you. Get your texts in right now at 960-960. It's the open mailbag, whatever you want to chat about next. Friday DMs to close out the week here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, still a couple moments for you to get your questions in on the Friday DMs. Anything and everything you want to chat about. You want to talk NHL playoffs? You want to talk Flames off season? You want to ask Julian weird personal questions? That's happened before. You want to ask what Chan's favorite car is? I don't know why you'd want to, but you could do all that.
Chan, do you have a favorite car?
I wasn't thinking about it.
You're not a car guy to me.
No, I'm not. That's right. Cam tells me a lot of stuff about cars, and I just sit there and like, with support.
Cam definitely seems like a car
guy. Yeah. I sit there, smile, and nod. I go, that's cool. And I mean it.
Cam,
I just don't know what's going on.
Cam cares too much about his car.
A little bit.
Not a little bit. Way too much.
A lot of it.
But you can get your questions
in. What car do you drive again, Cam?
No, please don't.
Here we go.
A Subaru STI.
Okay. All right. It's a nice whip.
Premium gas and
you pay
tires,
premium gas
tires that you can't
damn,
you can't drive unless it's 4 degrees above Celsius.
I'm 93 octane, buddy.
You're spending more money on gas than average people. Go ahead, go off,
go off, sir. 960-960. You can get your questions in the Friday DMs kicking off in just a few moments. You can talk Calgary Stampeders, whatever you want. We'll dive into it again. 960-960. Four games on the NHL schedule tonight. All gets going at 5:00. Rangers, Capitals back in Washington. Julian, do the Capitals have a chance?
I'm not liking their chances,
going down 3-0.
I'm not liking their chances, especially when you're holding guys like Alexander Ovechkin off the score sheet as much as you can. And I mean, remember in game one, he didn't have a shot on goal in that series. Also, that Rangers team, just maybe this is the year everything clicks. They've been able to get guys up front who play well, like Artemi Panarin, the defense, guys like Adam Fox and Keandre Miller, and Igor Shesterkin. He's that dude. Maybe this is the year they get everything right.
Canucks and Nashville shift back to Music City for game 3. 5:30 puck drop, so we go from the late night starts in Vancouver to some early ones in Nashville. Casey DeSmith, once again, the starting goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks. That series tied up at 1-1. We're into Colorado for the Jets and the Avalanche. That series also 1-1. Jets looking for a bounce back from Connor Hellebuck in game number 3. And your late start tonight in L.A., we're off to California for the Oilers and the Kings, 8:30 on Sportsnet. Of course, Andre Kopitar, your overtime hero in game number 2. That's why this series is all knotted up at 1-1. So you got lots of hockey options after a slow night yesterday with just 2 games. We're back to 4 for the next couple of days over the weekend as well. And should be good. Looking forward to all the Canadian teams in action. Doing that Canucks game is going to be real interesting. Lots of pressure on Casey DeSmith's shoulders right now.
It's also been really fascinating to see Canucks fans go from some of the highest optimism that those fans have probably felt since 2011 and see it kind of veer the way downward with Thatcher Demko's injury status in the balance.
Yeah, it's we've heard Kevin Woodley from Flamestalk. He was on in Vancouver, I believe yesterday, saying at least he heard not this round, not next round. I know Sarah Sivian on Twitter has suggested that she's heard he might be out for the entire postseason.
That's a lot of questions around Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, nothing good right now if you're the Vancouver Canucks, but still in this series with the Predators. And like I mentioned, game 3 tonight at 5:30 on Sportsnet. A couple more minutes before Friday DM start, 960-960. Questions coming in already. Still got a chance to get yours in. But first, we'll tell you again, we won't have any of the NHL playoff games on your radio tonight because we're going to Tucson again, Julian. Wranglers can defeat the Tucson Roadrunners in their opening round best of three set in the Calder Cup playoffs after a big game one shutout from Dustin Wolf. Game two is tonight in Tucson. Sandra Priscina and Cass Vilgrain on the call right here on Sportsnet 960. We're going to take you for the Jays and the Dodgers just after 5 o'clock, and then we'll get you out to Tucson for a puck drop at 8 o'clock. So the beauty of these best of threes, one win and you're already looking ahead to potentially eliminating your opponent. That'd be a massive start to the postseason for the Wranglers if they could get past Tucson in two games.
Absolutely, and the fact that those games are on the road as well and they've been able to perform the way that they've been performing, really big, good lead for the Wranglers, obviously. If they can get the job done, all the better for them.
Yeah, those best of three. I don't understand why it's a best of three.
Yeah, the AHL playoff format's a little bit weird for me.
A little bit. Yeah, that's fair. But again, for as you mentioned when we talked to Ryan Huska, the end of the season, you know, he was talking about how important these games are. He knows, spending as much time in the AHL as he did, and he thinks this is developmentally some of the best games that you can get. So if you're, you know, Dustin Wolf, you're Matt Coronado, Adam Klapka,
Jacob Peltier, he's over there too.
List goes on and on. These are important games, and the longer this playoff run goes for the Calgary Wranglers, the better for them and heading into next season. So again, 8 o'clock puck drop Friday night right here on Sportsnet 960. Wranglers, Tucson Roadrunners, Sandra Priscina, Cass Vilgrain on the call following the Jays and the Dodgers. Why don't we end the week off like we always do? We open it up to the text line at 960-960. Whatever you want to talk about with Logo and Julian, it's time for the Friday DMs.
Who still uses that old mailbox? Time to bring it into the 21st century. Your burning questions answered on the Friday DMs.
960-960 if you want to get in on the conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, Flames, playoff hockey, off-season trade proposals, anything off the ice you want to talk about, football, personal life, whatever's going on, feel free to do so right now on the Friday DMs. And we hand things over to the man who knows more about sliding into DMs than any of us.
Cameron Hughes.
It's Shan Virgie. Hi, Shan.
Hey, guys.
Wait, Shan Virgie knows more about sliding into DMs than any of us?
Unsuccessfully.
I call BS on that.
No, I shoot my shot. It just doesn't work.
You're a low percentage
who
shooter
do you think
is what
would
you're
be
saying.
More in DMs than Shan?
In this room?
Julian McKenzie, probably.
Okay, I don't think we need to air out my business. Can we get to these questions?
No, you brought this up. We're dealing with your problem right now.
I'm actually not really a...
You questioned
I'm not really, I'm not really a DM jumper. I mean, I try to take the high percentage shot, so I'm not like a serial shooter who's going to be like, let me hop in all these DMs.
At Miley Cyrus, what up, girl?
Yeah. I'm shooting at like Klay Thompson 2024.
Why is Aaron Vickers looking at me all of a sudden like he just had something? No. Stop. No. Aaron Vickers just asked us, who's the most famous person?
He could text in to 960-960 if he'd like to be on the Friday DMs. We've got other things to get
who's
to.
Who's the most famous person's
no,
DMs?
No,
it has to be text in. Okay, I'm getting to this.
Shen, you are the DM master.
Back on track. Long time listener, first time texter. This one's for Julian. Who's your favorite Calgary media member? I have a feeling it's not going to be Aaron Vickers.
On principle, I don't think it can be Aaron Vickers. Love you, buddy. It's really tough to just bring it down to one person because I think everyone here's been really great.
Us will hate you.
I mean that too, I guess. I don't really want to start a war, so I will respectfully say that I appreciate all of the media members in this market.
That's
equally.
I don't think we can accept that, Logan.
I don't think he's going to give you anything else.
I don't think so. Like, it's not. What do you what? If I say Eric Francis, what's that going to mean? Like, no.
Okay.
I love Eric, but like, no.
You don't love Eric?
I mean, I don't love him enough to say he's my favorite media member.
We're going to make a card on that. We're going to move on here. this is from Shoobs. What car did you guys own that was your favorite? Cam being a Subaru guy. I think we already know that answer.
True.
Around the room.
So what's our favorite car?
Which car that you owned was your favorite?
Car that I own is my favorite. It might be the one I have now. I just have a Toyota.
Toyota what?
Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
It's a nice car. It gets around from point A to point B.
I've only had one car, 4Runner. Love that thing.
I had a really old, like a Mercedes from like the 90s. Like, it's not even like Mercedes-Benz. It's just Mercedes.
Ooh,
what?
It's like a real, like it ran on, no, you know what? My mom had an older version of that car and it ran on diesel and it was like so loud. I could tell, when I was really young, I could tell my mom was driving home because you could hear it like how many blocks up. It was like, yeah.
I wish I had a cool.
Yeah, I don't have any like cool cars.
Yeah, I wish I did. I love my truck. I drive a Silverado. I like it a lot, but does it have a cool story or a cool history?
It's red. I like
it. Is red.
It looks
cool.
Nice.
Red truck.
Yeah. Like I'm not a massive car person. I like a car that will get me from point A to point B. The maintenance isn't that
Toyotas.
Hard. Toyotas are great,
sir.
For that. So I'm good with Toyotas. Maybe one day I'll upgrade, but like I don't need a fancy schmancy car. Like I need just a car that'll get me where I need to go.
I'd like to have a car with some personality one day and do something a little different, but for now I haven't had one.
Yeah.
Cam, I think we all know your answer. Like,
yeah, we don't even need to.
Yeah, if it wasn't this, I had a 2002 Subaru Outback station wagon.
So you a big Subaru man.
Yeah.
It had 320,000 kilometers on it, and it started up every time, and it was the greatest winter car I've ever owned.
300, wait, that many, and it still worked?
First engine, too.
Wow.
Crazy car. Loved it.
You went through that, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I have to read this. I slid into Amber Heard's DMs during the trial. I figured that'd be my best shot.
Okay, so. No, I don't think we need to read that.
Fair enough. We have another text here. I don't know who this could be possibly from. Who's the most famous person that Julian...
Where's the...
What?
Oh, right. Isn't there supposed to be like a bell or a ding?
No,
or...
we don't. Oh.
We don't have that anymore? Dick.
Yeah. Most famous person that Julian has tried to slide into the DMs.
No.
It's a question you have to answer.
No. Oh, God. Most famous person?
Yeah.
Like... Oh, like that.
Angela White.
No, what the hell? What? Okay. you got me flustered here. I don't really hop into famous people's DMs like that. That's not really like my thing. Like, it's not.
Who would you? You have to DM one female celebrity to shoot your shot. Who would it be?
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
I mean, I know ASAP ASAP Rocky there, but.
I DM'd Alex Morgan once, so I'll be honest.
Alex Morgan?
Yeah, that was...
The soccer player?
Yeah, that happened.
How did that go?
Of course she didn't answer me. What do you
yeah,
mean, man?
That's fair.
Well, I don't know.
That's
you like,
who am I?
You like brought
ask.
That up, and you were just kind of like, yeah,
yeah,
well,
she didn't
that.
Answer. I just...
Yeah,
I sent
she was
it.
Like, yeah, where are we going?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that would have happened.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. Next one, Matt from Matt and Cochran... Also from Georgia and Toronto, we can't tell here. Should the Lightning fire John Cooper after another first round elimination?
Why?
No.
Who's the better coach out there who will do a better job with that roster than John Cooper will?
Yeah. Move on. If the Flames named their captain today instead of last year, who do you think it would be? John and Sundry.
Probably still Michael Backlund.
I think it'd still be Backs. I know that's a question alluding to Mackenzie Weegar and a large amount of the fan base that likes where he's going and thinks there's captain material. And I don't disagree with you.
I think there could happen one day.
Yeah, I absolutely think after Michael, Mackenzie makes a lot of sense. But the longevity, the community work, the time that he spent as a Calgary Flame, I don't think it can be ignored for Michael Backlund. And I think I think in that room, he's done a tremendous job. I think that the respect level for coaching, from the coaching staff and from the other players, I think is very high with Michael as captain.
Yeah, he's already basically like a de facto captain anyway, before he had the C. Mm-hmm. So if he's still on the roster, you have to give it to him.
We'll move on. Is there a world where the Flames offer Sean Monahan a welcome home package this offseason? I feel like he would really complement the center depth, assist with the power play struggles, and finish off his legacy where it belongs in the rafters of a new arena. Would be a great story. I think all of us would welcome that return.
Would all of us want that? Like, you guys tell me if I'm wrong. For what this team is trying to do, does it make sense to do that? Is Sean Monahan going to be the guy that, I mean, your center depth gets better, but is he going to put the team over the top? Is that the guy you want to commit all that money to?
I think
at this point now, if this is a point where the team was on the verge of being a real good contender, like kind of like what Detroit could be, like we were talking about in the first segment, like Calgary where they're at right now, is Sean Monahan going to make that much of a difference?
The problem for me is I don't, now that Sean's been healthy long enough to be back to an impact maker, he's been riding these one-year deals for a little bit now. I would say he's going to try to cash in
absolutely
longer term than the Flames would be willing to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think given the center ice depth and the, you know, the Elias Lindholm move that hasn't been replaced really at center ice, you've tried Sharangovich, tried Zeri. I wouldn't hate it at all. And I think Sean would be welcomed back to Calgary with open arms.
Sure.
It'd be great to see him back here healthy again. But does Sean Monahan want to sign a two-year deal right now because it fits with what the Calgary Flames are doing? I would guess not.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it, though.
Yeah. You have it right. Because in my mind, I don't see this team going into free agency and saying, all right, man, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Unless it's for a really young talent that they think is worth giving that to, who they feel can build with the core they're trying to build. It doesn't make sense in my head.
He's 30 in October.
Yeah, like signing a 30-year-old to that term for what you're trying to do with this roster just doesn't make sense. I've seen around where people are wondering, hey, maybe it makes sense to bring him back. Maybe it makes sense to bring Elias Lindholm back. Just doesn't make sense with the timeline of this team right now.
We've got a pretty good one here. What's the biggest regret purchase of your life?
Oh, biggest regret purchase of my life.
Regret purchase of my life. I don't know if I've ever regret. I mean, oh, God. I'm trying to think if there's like a concert I've been to where I bought tickets for and I regret doing it.
Jack Harlow at Stampede might be mine.
Really?
Yeah. Was,
you pretty, the
I heard
that
bad?
Was
pretty bad.
Dude, I left right away.
Yeah. How much did you spend on those tickets?
It was probably $100.
That's not that.
It's that's more than, it wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it. That's fair. But like you could make bigger monetary
fumbles.
Yeah,
but I don't have money.
Sure, but.
$100 a lot to some people.
It is a lot to some people. You're absolutely right. And if the show's not worth it, it's a waste of money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And time.
And time. Yeah. Especially at Stampede, where like last year was my first time at Stampede. It was a great time. There were a lot of great performers. Biggest regret purchase. Oh, man. I don't know if I have one, but it sounds kind of weird to say.
Honestly, this will sound stupid. It's the only one I can think of. I bought a food processor and I never use it.
Huh.
I spent like $200 on a food processor. I'm like, man, it'll make life so easy. I don't have to chop anything. I don't have to process any of my food. I don't ever use it. I just don't have the time.
Mm. I bought one.
That's all I can think of. I really can't. I wish I could tell you. I spent $20,000 on a car and I hated it. It's as simple as I bought a food product. I thought it was gonna be the sweetest thing ever. I bought a magic bullet too, and that thing sucked.
They do really well with the commercials. They sell you on it.
It was awful.
Bullets are supposed to be good. I've seen it. I spent like almost $40 on one of those Ridge wallets. I don't like it.
That's a fair one. Yeah, I was almost sucked into the advertising on those too.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan. I'm sure there's a much bigger one. Like even shoes that I've bought that I'm like, they're okay. Like, you know, it's tough to call them a regret. You could always like flip them for something else. Like a wallet, like if you're trying to sell a wallet on Marketplace, like, I don't know, no one's going to pay more than like $30 for it at most.
We'll go back to hockey real quick. Will Brad Marchand make the Hall of Fame?
Brad Marchand.
Stanley Cup winner. How many times have we considered Brad Marchand among the best players in the NHL?
That doesn't matter, though.
That doesn't matter? How does that
I don't think the Hockey Hall of Fame standard is that anymore.
Fair. Fair, because there are...
I think you're right. I think that's what it should be. Don't get me wrong. I think we should have a higher standard to get into the Hall of Fame. Brad Marchand's at 1,029 games played right now, 929 points, 1,000 penalty minutes, 1,051 penalty minutes. And 149 playoff games, 134 points in those playoff games.
35-year-old. Keeping the theme of talking about 34, 35, 36-year-olds on the show.
And so we're going to move to another 35-year-old here. A couple questions.
Answer, though.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because you look at even the guys with the standard as it is. Like, I think of, and I'm not trying to belittle them in any way, but people were a little bit up in arms when a guy like when guys like the Sedin twins made it, because people would think of them as like Hall of Very Good and maybe not Hall of Famers. I think they're Hall of Famers, but you can at least look at them and say that they have individual accolades. I don't think Brad Marchand has a lot of those. He has a cup, though, so I'll say no.
Okay, we got a couple for Julian here.
Oh, boy.
Let's go rapid fire. Is it easier to interview the Quebec players en français? Do they respond better?
I usually just talk to them in English. I don't really get to talk to them in French that much, but I do know if it ever gets to that point where I need to, if they ever say anything in French, like, I don't know if this, yeah, no, if they ever say anything in French, like if they go on a radio station in Quebec and they say something juicy, like, I know I can tap in on that. But like, usually when I'm talking to the guys, like I'll speak to them in English. There have been some times where I've been like, hey, like, merci, like afterward. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, I appreciate that. But like, I'm cool with talking to them in English.
Okay, and then another one. Do you have a go-to spot here in Calgary if you're looking for a taste of home back in Montreal? From Matt and Cochran.
Not in the way that you would think, I guess. I've plugged this place enough, but King Solomon's Kitchen's a spot on Meridian Road. My cousin, that's their spot. They make a lot of like rice and peas and like jerk chicken and stuff. And like that reminds me of like what my mom makes. So yeah, I don't need to go anywhere and be like, oh, I need a poutine. Like it's whatever. I'm not like I like poutine, but like I'm not like a crazy fan of it. I'd much rather like go to my aunt's house and like get food over here and get a real taste of home.
Okay, Logan, this one's for you. I'm excited for this one. Your most embarrassing moment on live air. That one from Tyler and Boness.
Oh, I want to hear this. This could be really funny.
I mean, I've had a lot of, like, you just have general slip-ups, as always, when you've been, I mean, I think it's 8 years tomorrow.
Wow, really?
At 960.
Congratulations.
So, I mean, and I've spent so much time on the board and being an extra.
Cam, can we play some
shows.
Applause
no one's
for Logo? Come on, man.
No one's happy about it. Everyone's mad that it's 8 years.
Yeah, so you deserve your flowers, buddy.
Time's up.
Yeah, that's
time's up.
That just means I'm closer to being fired than when I started.
Don't say that about our industry. It's as dire enough as it is.
You know what? There's been plenty, but the poem that Ailish made me do for the Leafs after a Flames Leafs bet we had earlier on in the season. Yeah, we had to do a. The loser had to come up with a poem for the other team.
All right,
shut up. Why do you have this?
Leafs.
No. Here we go. Under GM Brad Treliving, the Leafs are making a new beginning. Here comes the enforcer Reeves. The opposition leaves. Max Domi may not be Ty Domi, but he's skilled and tough. He's their diamond in the rough. Samsonov's acrobatics make fans scream, but he's assisting the Maple Leafs to score their dream. Wool will make the Leafs mighty and tall. He's their new Great Wall. An ace up their sleeves is Matthew Nyes. They hope that Nylander won't leave to wander, leaving Mitch Marner to ponder. There you go. That's the best I could do.
I'd like to make it clear that Logan took his headset off.
Let's get some snaps in the chat, everybody. That was good.
Logan, that was beautiful. Well written, great, actually.
That was Duke Silver-esque if he was doing poems.
We should do a weekly poem segment with you.
Yeah, I think you got a knack for rhyming.
Yeah.
Dude, that was really... I don't think that was that embarrassing. You've never been in a situation where you were working the board and you accidentally hung up on Hulk Hogan.
That's embarrassing.
That's very embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm sure I have. Ask Pat. I've spent enough time on the Big Show and Pinder and Steinberg and everything else that I'm sure I have moments.
Congrats on 8 years, my man. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. We'll see if I'm here on Monday. See if I'm here on Monday. No, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Thanks, Shan, for running the DMs. Appreciate everyone texting at 960-960. We got way busier on Friday DMs than we thought. Couldn't get to everything today, but we'll look to do it again next week. Thanks to my outstanding co-host this afternoon, Julian McKenzie, for his great work, of course, covering the Calgary Flames for The Athletic. And find him on Twitter at JKA McKenzie. Is that the one?
Yes, sir.
That's the one. You know where to find his work. Appreciate you being on today, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, as always, man. See you next week.
Shan, Greg, and Cam are outstanding producers on this Friday show. Thanks to Andy McNamara for joining us, tightening all things NFL draft. And in hour one, if you missed it, a great conversation with Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada's Chris Cuthbert on the life and legacy of Bob Cole. It's up wherever you get your podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Have yourself a great weekend. Chat with you on Monday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Peace.